Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You will finally be able to purchase alcohol inside of Kinnick Stadium, something that has been long awaited by Iowa fans for a very long time. Yes, it's going to cost $14, but think about how good that cold Busch Light will taste during a hot fall day. And save a little bit for the end of the game. You'll find out why in the pod. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 223 of the podcast. Another little family episode because we do have Dr. Creamcast in here, and that's always a great Sunday morning when we get to spend it with Kevin. So looking forward to wherever this conversation goes. I don't think it's going to be necessarily important whatsoever, but here we are.
I don't know if there's a lot of importance, but could you say that about any of our podcasts, really? Except for the one podcast right after all.
There's been a couple important ones, pal.
There's been one very important one, and then a couple other that are like semi-important, and then 215 that are just like total bullshit. What are you snacking on there, man? Well, breakfast sandwich?
Every morning, every single morning, all 7 days out of the week, all 52 weeks of the year, I eat a sausage, egg, and cheddar from Starbucks, and it's tremendous.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. What's your breakfast, Kevin?
On a training day, it'll be 3 eggs, a couple pieces of toast, a bagel, a banana with some peanut butter on it, and orange juice.
This guy's a carb daddy.
I was gonna say, what are your macros like? What kind of calorie intake you bringing in?
Keeping around 4,500 these days.
4,500?
Yeah.
I just drooled all over my desk thinking about getting to eat 4,500 calories every day.
Holy shit, dude!
Lifting weights is tiring. Takes a lot of energy.
How many days a week are you training?
Five.
And you still weigh 220 or so?
215.
On your two rest days, do you eat less or do you keep it the same?
A little bit, yeah. But
we've watched Kevin eat throughout the years, and there's no way that just on an off day, he's able to say two's no longer a meal. One suffices as a meal now. Like, that's just not Kevin.
Yeah.
No. Pancheros, if we're hungry, it's always still two burritos. But no, I mean, I generally eat a little bit less.
Oh my God. That's so for normal.
For everybody subscribed to the Tyler Kluver fitness plan, don't do that.
Yeah.
Not unless you're trying to lift maximal amounts of weight.
I think out of all my clients, the highest calorie intake we're looking at is like 2,800 right now. So
yeah, well, I'm also not trying to lose weight, so
right. Holy shit, man. So for the those listening, don't do that because you will be fat because you don't lift like Kevin. And I venture to guess that not venture to guess, I know that Kevin has a genetically higher metabolism, little burn rate than the average human. I don't think it's on some astronomical alien type level like Kevin Casper maybe, but it's higher than most humans. So wow, 4,500. For those wondering, I eat like 3,100 or 3,200.
Yeah, I'm also, what do you weigh these days? 190-ish?
I'm actually like 198 right now.
Oh, getting back up there a little bit, huh?
Well, when I cracked my rib, I couldn't do anything. And so, yeah. Anyway, wow, that's, so breakfast is usually like, I don't eat breakfast. That's part of why I don't eat that many calories. Like a peanut butter sandwich. I'll eat a peanut butter sandwich. What's the best breakfast spot in Iowa City? I really like the.
I'm either between Dandelion or Pullman.
I've never had either.
Listen, the way that Ike will have an actual reaction to when the waitress brings out his Pullman breakfast, there's a physical, there's an emotional, there's like you can feel his soul smiling as the waitress brings out his breakfast at Pullman. And I think that probably wins breakfast of Iowa City.
What's the move there?
There's
you order?
Everything.
They got a pretty solid corned beef hash, which I'm very predispositioned towards.
Dude, Kev, I didn't know that we had even one thing in common with each other other than the fact that we played football. But we both love corned beef hash.
Corned beef hash is elite, dude. What else? Like, I mean, I get the corned beef hash almost every time. There's another, what's the name of it? There's another dish I like a lot.
I never had it. Never had. I'm going to have to go there next time. See, Lauren's not a breakfast person. So like whenever
dude, breakfast is the best meal of the day.
Yeah. I mean,
I would eat breakfast food 3 times a day.
Yeah. I mean, we did sometimes,
like breakfast for dinner is a common staple in my household.
Yeah. Yeah. I just,
my household is just me, but you know,
right. The household of Kevin Ward.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good household.
Yeah. Decent company.
I like hamburger a lot. Hamburger Inn. That's pretty good. Do you remember?
Hamburger Inn solid.
Do you guys remember the day that we went to Hamburger Inn? I think it was like, I'm not sure if you were there, Drake, but it was me, Bo, Josie, you, Kevin, and Gervas was there too. And when we were leaving, Gervas was like trying to get in the back of the car and we kept driving away from him and we like wouldn't let him get into the back of the car.
That sounds like a game I'm big in on. I would.
And every time he would get close, we'd speed up and like keep going down the alley. He'd just chasing after my mom to this day.
It was like a half mile.
Yeah. And we took like a Snapchat video of it. And my mom to this day thinks that that's the funniest shit that she's ever seen. It's like, we just wouldn't let Gervas get in the car and she feels bad for him. But I told her like, it's Gervas. Like that's just his life. So, Gervas, by the way, people love the episode.
Yeah, it's a quality episode.
Regardless of the.
Listen to this. I'm about to bring something to this episode that you guys didn't expect. I just pulled up my phone and the first thing that popped up was a graphic from the MLB from Ray Caldwell in 1919. He was struck by lightning in the 9th inning of his Indians debut. And he finished the game after being revived.
Man, they just don't build him like that.
He was a pitcher and he was hit by lightning on the mound. And when they got his heart to start again, he picked the ball back up. And that is missing from modern day athletics. And I thought that would be a good thing to bring to this podcast.
Yeah, they definitely don't make him like that anymore.
I know, you know, guy pulls a hamstring and he's just going to opt out for the rest of the season and go pro.
I mean, half of the NBA players only play 60% of the games during the season anyway.
Yeah,
that would be like the bird that Randy Johnson hit just standing up and flying off the field.
A little shake.
Just shiver the feathers a little bit and just
what feathers, dude?
Yeah, you, I mean that thing had nothing bird, to screw out. The thing like imploded.
That's one of the craziest things that ever happened.
What do they call that? Do they like call it like, okay, I mean, it didn't go over the plate. Is that a ball or do they just,
I think
like,
it's a no pitch. It's just,
yeah, it's gotta be a no pitch.
Yeah. Just, or crazy. Or dead ball or I don't know. That's one of the best videos of all time. You guys know Randy Johnson was 6'10"?
Yeah.
Big tall dude.
Broski. He was one of my favorite players of all time in any sport. Like, I was, for whatever reason, because his nickname was the big unit and he could throw it. I was a left-handed golfer and he was a left-handed pitcher and he could throw it 100 miles an hour. And all I cared about.
Yeah, he was like the first dude that could throw it 100 miles an hour.
Exactly. Exactly. And of course, every kid's fascinated with that. And at golf, all I cared about was hitting driver. So I was like, me and Randy Johnson, we were alike. And I associated with him.
You know who can't hit a driver?
You.
Me went golfing for the first time this year. Wife and I played 9 on Friday. Solid double bogey average.
But did you get sunshine?
Oh, it was gorgeous. It was a beautiful Friday morning. We played at teed off at 7:50 a.m.
Nice.
And Waukee was beautiful. It was already like a upper 70s. It was a little muggy, but upper 70s. Sun was shining. And shot 52 on a 34 par. You know me.
To be honest, man, I've seen a lot of people shoot in the 50s that weren't supposed to shoot in the 50s. So
lost no balls.
No, that's balls. A huge one right there. If I losing balls, I'm like, I don't even care what I shot.
Yeah. So if you shot 50 and didn't lose a single golf ball, I would have liked to have been on the course to see these shots.
I often say this, and it's with no other data other than I love to believe in myself. For someone who plays as little golf as I do, if you found like 50 guys who played
golf 3 times in their whole life,
two rounds a year, like 18 holes a year, I think I would win the tournament out of those 50 guys. Because I don't know. I have no idea. I can swing okay. Like, I can swing okay. I suck at driving. I am trash at driving. I cannot get good ball contact no matter what I do.
Yeah.
So do you keep the driver in the bag and hit the 4-iron off the tee, or what do you do?
3 out of the 9 holes, I hit the 4. Because it's just something about that club. Like, and does it – does it make sense to go to the driving range before you play around a golf? Yeah. Yeah, it sure does. But do I ever do that? No, I don't.
Only time I ever do that if there's little stakes on the match.
Right. Yeah. You got to fine tune, got to oil the machine a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're getting a little competitive edge, and then I'll make my way, hit a few balls.
Have y'all heard about McAfee and AJ Hawk's bet?
What's that? No, I didn't.
McAfee has to shoot like, or he has to be like, yeah,
top 50. Pat McAfee, one time in his entire life, has to finish top 50 in a Champions Tour event, and AJ Hawk owes him $20 million. AJ Hawk said, "There's no way." He first of all, it started off as 10.
How do you? You can't just be in a Champions if.
No.
Pat
exactly. Has to. He's got like 10 years or something to pull this off, right?
Yeah.
But he has to get to the point where he's successful enough to win a tournament to qualify for the Champions Tour.
And then be
and then he has to play against older gentlemen who are the same age as him, who have been playing in the PGA Tour for the last 20 years. And he has to try and finish top 50. And AJ Hawk's like, dude, I guarantee it. He's like, I'll put every dime I've ever made on it.
If you haven't been golfing competitively since you were in high school, you guys know how motor recruitment and reps.
It's a completely different sport. It's so everything just so fine tuned that it just takes reps upon reps upon reps.
But even anything,
Pat has to learn how to putt. Like, you have to be able to maneuver around a course in 28 putts or less, 27 putts or less, to really be worth a shit at any competitive level. And there's no way Pat's
27 putts is kind of insane.
Dude, go look at what the good guys putt. Go look at how many putts good guys put down in a round.
Okay, but I mean, like, still. That's...
And you got to remember that Champions Tour courses are easier, so they're playing from closer in. They're hitting smaller wedges into less difficult pin positions. So, I don't know.
He's never going to do it.
No, never. But I thought it was kind of funny considering the conversation we were having.
It's a funny-ass bet, $20 million. It's insane. Like, Pat needs it. Yeah, man. I can't drive. My mid-range game, the irons, decent. Decent on the irons. And if I take my time around the green, like my chipping, pitching wedge, and my putting is okay for someone who never golfs. But the driver, I mean, you might as well chalk it up as like a fucking it's so annoying. It's so annoying. But I'm playing in the iClub event in 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks from tomorrow. So probably go get another round in before.
Better hit the range, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, you know, just some asshole out here looking just like when we went down to Kansas City 2 years ago. I mean, it was just like, yeah, I'm just some asshole. I honestly would feel comfortable just like, hey, group of four, you guys play ahead. I'll play in between the next group and you guys, and I'll just kind of like report my score at the end because I'm so embarrassed to golf in front of other people. It sucks, but it's fun. It's I think I will get into golf as I get older, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a statement that I didn't really see coming.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very nice leisurely activity, you know? So it's also expensive. I don't like
how expensive. That's why I don't play down here anymore, because every round of golf in Arizona is over $100.
Jesus Christ. Okay, well, they're milking those sunbirds for all they're worth, huh?
Dude, that's what's down here. Copious amounts of money and an environment that welcomes every golfer in the entire world. So, like,
yeah,
they know that
they're still golf when it's, like, middle of the afternoon?
Here, you get cheaper prices in the summer for afternoon golf.
You go golf and it's 117 out. You know?
Yeah, I mean, people aren't doing that. That's not fun at all. No, I don't think. I mean, unless you're an absolute savage, but.
Well, because like, yeah, I mean, because you can't exercise or like go on hikes out there when it's that hot.
But you almost die, and I've done that.
Right, but golf, you could probably get by, especially if you're on a cart.
Kev, tell them how bad it is to be out there for 4 hours when it's stale.
If it's like hot. Like hot,
it's horrible.
And I'm golfing, I'm not having fun.
No. And I'm not to the point where I can, like, 18 is still a stretch for me. It's like, and we get through about 12 holes and Tyler's good, you know? And that's when it's like 82 and there's a breeze. So yeah. Good stuff. I was on John Miller's podcast, Hawkeye podcast. Thanks, John, for having me on a couple weeks ago. He asked a good question that I didn't, that I had never considered until he said it. And it made me think. And he said, what do I think? And then in conjunction, you guys as well, what do we think that KF thinks of us being on the dark side now of like the media? And like he, I forgot, he asked it in a much more elegant way,
but it was so like, here's my answer. In short, John Miller, Coach Kirk Ferentz does not give a fuck about me. So
it's kind
of I don't know how the other two feel, but KF has a lot of things on his plate. And one of the things that's not on his plate is three washed up assholes talking on a podcast. He truly couldn't care less. To my second point, I actually think he appreciates us because we're three pretty straight shooters and we tell things how it is. And I think Coach Ferentz can appreciate the true light that we shed on the program. And that's about my thoughts on that.
Yeah.
It is my wish that KF has never listened to an episode and just remembers us as we were.
Yeah. I
don't know. I don't think about it very much.
I told him essentially that, Drake. I was like, you know, he knows us as people. Like, we were his players for 4+ years, 5 years, and like he knows who we are and he respects that, and like we gained a level of respect through the program by the time we left that like he knows how to sift through bullshit, even though like even if he were to listen to one of our podcasts and hear a bunch of like BSing around, like he would know like, oh yeah, these are just the guys, like they're just having a good time. And we are generally pretty much fairly pro-Iowa. Like, we support and push the brand of Iowa football in a good way most of the time. Like, we're not homers, but, you know, like, we love Iowa football. So I think you're right, Drake. The way that we keep it real, I think he probably would prefer, like, you know, he doesn't like the media in a traditional sense. So he probably prefers, like, the honesty and the realness over some of the BS that other people do. But I thought it was an interesting question. I also was just like, I tend to think that KF probably has more important things that he's thinking about than us.
I would feel really bad about the state of Iowa football if we were on KF's mind.
If KF was like sitting in the office on a Tuesday after practice, he's like, God damn it, Kevin and Tyler, those fucking guys, they just, Drake, they keep talking about Iowa. Like, if he was thinking about that stuff, then something would definitely be wrong.
There's just no way. I mean, yeah. We said some outrageous shit in this podcast, but I don't think we said anything outrageous enough that he actually heard about it, you know?
So I think Coach Woods or Coach Wallace once told me that he listened to part of an episode. I don't know what episode that was, and I doubt it was very much of it, but yeah, I don't know. Saw a picture of Luca on Twitter. He's down 22 pounds. He has yet to respond to me or the Wash Up Walk-Ons for an appearance on this podcast, which is fine because he does have a lot more shit that he's preparing for. But what do you guys think are his legit chances of playing in the NBA? For some reason, he's the best college basketball player, but, like, you go back towards, like, Tyler Hansbrough. He was elite in college and, like, didn't exactly transfer over to him being the best NBA player because it's just a different game.
I mean, yeah, you see it in other sports too.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing to me that a lot of people don't think he'll really pan out because it's just like he's so good at basketball. But
I mean, I don't watch the NBA, so I'm not really a qualified voice on this at all.
Well, none of us are.
I only watch college basketball. This is just my inherent feelings that he'll find a team, whether he gets playing time, as I couldn't. Speak to that.
Here's my feelings is that Nikola Jokic just won the NBA MVP.
True.
And like 5 years ago, he was 300 pounds and nobody believed in him whatsoever. Like he couldn't even move around a basketball court.
Yeah.
I may have the timeline wrong, but I do know for a fact he was 300 pounds and could hardly fucking move. And now he's the NBA MVP. So like Luka was very far from that. All he's doing is lacking true NBA athleticism. But what he has is a set of skills that a lot of guys his size don't have. And that can translate somewhere in the NBA. Is he going to be Kevin Durant? No, he's not. He's probably not going to lead the NBA in scoring. I'd be willing to bet my mortgage that he's not. But that doesn't mean he can't be an effective second big man or second four in the game to give good fouls, be good in the mid-range game, be good in the screen and roll game. Like, he has a spot in the NBA. There's no doubt.
The NBA.
Yeah, I mean, my one thing is, like, you know, seeing how far Luka came from where he started college to where he finished.
True.
In college. Like, just don't bet against the guy. I wouldn't bet against the guy.
What's so interesting to me about both the NBA a little bit and definitely Major League Baseball is the amount of time that it generally takes, like on average, for a guy to figure it out and stick somewhere and like carve out a path. In the NFL, it's like play now.
It's like you're not contributing in your first 2 years, they're going to kick you to the curb.
Right. But Major League Baseball, like we just talked about it a couple podcasts ago, like almost like 99% or more of guys are going into the minor leagues before you ever play in the big leagues. And that's like just normal. Mm-hmm. You don't just step up to the plate. Like it's weird. You have to figure it out. It takes time to find a spot and actually work up and like be that good. And in the NBA, European leagues, like guys go overseas, they play, sometimes they end up figuring it out. And then all of a sudden they're like 28 and they find a spot on an NBA team. It's weird, man. And so I don't know. There's such a development to the game.
Yeah. I mean, in the NBA, again, you know, I don't watch very much, but it just seems like
if you're not a lottery pick, like, you're one, not starting right away, and two, like, you might not even make the roster.
Right. It's weird. It's weird, man. It's different than football for sure. Here's the, well, two things. It's officially been announced, and I know that Kevin Ward's a big fan of this, that they will be selling beer in Kinnick Stadium and alcohol.
You know, this is a big day for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Contrary to popular belief, though, I will probably not be partaking in the drinking of alcohol inside of Kinnick, because I use that time valuably to sober up from the tailgate and to just watch the Hawkeyes. And then once the game is over, I can go back out and start boozing again.
Here's what I'll tell you is that the University of Iowa will never, ever, ever get me for $14 on a fucking tall boy ever. But happy for the fans that are willing to spend their hard-earned money on 28 ounces of liquid gold.
I was going to say there's going to be plenty of faithful Kinnick faithful that do spend that money.
Now, would you guys allow Busch Light to name the field Busch Light Field at Kinnick Stadium in exchange for $1 tall boys?
Dude, I would let them name
it. That's a question for the fans, not for you.
I would let them name it Busch Light Field at Kinnick Stadium for less than that, but dollar tall boys is a deal that nobody's turning down.
it's like pitchers at Spoko. I mean,
exactly.
I mean,
it's a question for the fans, though. It's not for us to decide.
Busch Light Field at Kinnick Stadium. It kind of sounds right, you know?
I mean, what's more Iowa than that?
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
And if you ask an Iowa fan, well, if you ask any true Iowan that doesn't live in Lames and cheer for those, bleep this one out, Kluver.
Thank you.
Then you believe that Kinnick Stadium is actually heaven, and in heaven, there's not supposed to be beer, but now there is beer.
That was the joke. It's like, in heaven, there is now beer.
Okay. I didn't see that joke, but now that joke fits perfectly.
Yeah. No, that's, it's going to be interesting. How many, so there's so many crossovers here. You guys saw the video of the Suns Jazz fans who were fighting. And then the Suns guy goes, Suns in four.
That was unbelievable. And then those guys came back with the police as if the whole thing wasn't on video and that guy didn't start it and then just get his face beat in like a little bitch. Dude, I wish that Suns fan would have just kept beating the piss out of him.
How many fights are going to happen in the stands now at Kinnick because people are just plastered? I mean,
there'll probably be a few more fights.
Yeah, I have to imagine that the aggressiveness goes up a little bit.
Proposing a new tradition, you know, this, you're talking about the in heaven there is no beer thing. Now, how about after wins, when the band starts to play, people toss some Busch Lights to the guys on the field.
Now we are talking. Now,
that's
now
why
this
we
is
drink it here.
Kevin, now you just came up with the single best idea you've ever had on this podcast.
In Kinnick, we now have beer. Yeah, the beer. Players drink it here, and they're just tossing. Oh my god, that would be incredible!
Or even if they can't pull that off, right? Even if they can't somehow pull that off, if everybody just has an extra half a beer sitting next to them as we go to the tunnel, and every time they just shower. The
smell. Yeah,
just a Busch Light shower. Oh god,
the linemen are just like. They got their mouths to this. Yeah. Feed me. Just Busch Light. just disgusting backwash Bush Light showers.
Fuck it, dude. After a W, that honestly feels right.
I'm naming this episode backwash Bush Light showers. You mentioned those in lames. This is the last topic I want to hit on today before we're done. Iowa State is primed for what's supposed to be their most anticipated season of all time.
And the over-under is 9.5, and hammer the under.
9.5.
Hammer the under.
Like the last 5 seasons they've had have been the most anticipated seasons.
Well, because they kind of have been, right? Like, Campbell is a good coach. He's clearly found a stride that works there over in Ames. And last year was their first appearance in the Big 12 championship. They lost. I loved watching the end of that game, by the way. Their best season ever ends with a loss in the Big 10 championship and a 9-3, or was it 10-3 with a bowl game, or 9-3 with a bowl game? I think it was 9-3 with a bowl game win. So the over under is set at a number that they would have to do something they've never done in program history. They do return 19 starters.
Listen, they are banking that number right there. 9.5 is fully banking on the fact that that quarterback makes it through 1,000 snaps. If that quarterback or if Breece Hall don't make it through the season, they can't come close.
How
many of their guys were supposed to graduate, but due to the COVID year, like, they came back?
A few. Yeah. They're one of their tight ends for sure. I think a couple linemen on both sides of the ball, a D-back, a linebacker. So they return 19 starters from a conference championship appearance team and a win over Oregon in the
– and honestly, it was not looking like a tough schedule, in my opinion.
Not a tough schedule. Their toughest games are going to be at Iowa.
No, they're at Iowa State this year.
Oh shit, I'm so fucked up because they didn't play I was thinking the last time we played Iowa State was at Iowa State. Yep, you're right. Mm-hmm. So it's in Ames, so that definitely benefits them.
Yeah, their other non-conference games are Northern Iowa and UNLV.
So we already know how good they are at beating you and I at home. So
that true, they do give them fits.
You and I is tough, but you and I isn't it?
Iowa State loves to make things close. They almost lost to Drake, which they don't have any scholarships. Yeah,
they suck in openers. I don't know why.
They're good.
Because they suck, dude. Because they fucking suck as a program, as a city. Their fans suck. Their program's always going to suck. Their colors fucking suck. Their linebackers truly, truly fucking suck. And, like, they have 2 good players. And if those 2 guys don't suck, they're worth, like, 7 games. That's it. They suck.
Historically, yes.
They have the hideous colors.
I can't hate them. Well, yeah.
But then they go to Baylor. Baylor's not great.
I think they're at Oklahoma.
Kansas at home. Kansas State hasn't been as good lately. Home versus Oklahoma State. So I'm not sure what OK State's working with this year.
They're supposed to
at West Virginia. Home versus Texas. At Texas Tech. At Oklahoma. Home versus TCU.
I read a few things on them in prep for this. They say, they're calling their biggest games essentially Iowa, Okie State at home, at Oklahoma, and they said that Texas Tech is supposed to be okay this year.
They're going to be favored in at least all but those 3 games.
They're currently -4 to 4.5 wherever you find them against the Hawks.
Yes, and they're going to be favored in all but 2 games probably.
Yeah.
-4.5?
Yeah, that's what I saw.
When's the last time they beat us in that dumbass stadium?
In 2012?
I mean, 11? Come on, dude. It is now – we're going on 10 years since they've even beat us by 1 single point, and they're giving them 4.5. Hammer time. Hammer time.
Man, it's going to be tough. I mean, Iowa's got – the Hawks have 2 opening games that are going to challenge them like we were never challenged in opening games.
Dude, how do you guys feel about the opening up in the Big Ten?
I don't mind it. I really don't.
I don't mind it either, but I'm just curious.
I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, we play Iowa and Iowa State and Indiana are both, depending on which site, you know, which fat guy who was eating Cheetos and made the rankings you want to listen to.
That triggered a few people right there, Daddy-O.
So whoever, whatever Cheeto eater you're listening to for the rankings, you're looking at Iowa State anywhere from like 5th to 10th, and Indiana's anywhere from like 9th to 14th.
Bro, I'm now going to just tell everybody to chill the fuck out, Cheeto finger, cheese finger.
Cheeto eater.
Cheeto eater, cheese finger.
God, we could have a lot of good names for this episode.
I think good thing for the Hawks, though, is that those teams are built pretty similar.
Yeah, you're right. Two top 15 teams to start the season is something that Iowa hasn't seen. I mean, we didn't play anyone. We didn't play any two-game stretch like that to open our season. I think our toughest was probably Northern. I mean, beforehand, it was probably – I don't even know. I mean, Ball State almost beat us in 14.
Yeah, but we sucked as bad as Iowa State that year.
Well, you lost Iowa State that year.
Yeah. Yeah, we were playing with plastic dicks all year. That's how fucking good we were.
Okay. What does that even mean? Plastic dicks?
I don't know. I mean, no, we never really had a two-game stretch like that to open up the season.
No, I don't know. Iowa State, they have to win 10? That's tough. 10 games, man? Even if you're supposed to win all your games, it's still extremely hard to win all your games. Like, and we know that. And they're going to be a dog at Oklahoma.
And then we're going to go back to the fact that they're a dog shit soft ass football program.
But they're not like we played though, Drake. Like,
hey, dude, until they prove me wrong, I'm just going to keep saying it.
It's fun to say that, but they returned 19 starters from a team that went 9-3. You know, as long as they weren't doing, as long as they weren't doing Marshalltown Bobcat 2013 strength program over this off season, then they're probably gonna get better. So they're right there. I don't know, man.
Yeah, Marshalltown strength coach.
They handled the hype in the off season too. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's something that they've never dealt with before, right? And mm-hmm. So Drake hit on a good point.
Hey, Kluber, hold up. Right now, before you make this point, the Marshalltown strength conditioning coach right now is sitting at his computer with Cheeto dust on his fingers, pounding the keyboard, pissed off right now.
No, well, the circa 2013, we didn't have a strength coach. We didn't have a strength coach. Like, it was – we just went in, and shout out Coach Holdman, who I think listens to the podcast sometimes, so he might be listening. Great coach, didn't know the most about strength conditioning. So, you know, it was the Cheetos and Mountain Dew program. But now they actually have a strength coach who's a little bit better, but yeah, man, it's, if Breece Hall or Brock Purdy get hurt, that's a tough little blow, right?
They're back. So what does their offensive line look like? Because
they return everybody.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good for those two guys in particular.
It's great, yeah. For health reasons, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're looking at they play in a conference where you don't see the scariest pass rushers in the country, you know? Like, right. You're looking at the SEC or the Big Ten, you usually have, like, those guys who are monsters.
But all it takes is one fat guy to fall on you wrong, and all of a sudden your shoulder's separated, and that's that.
You're right. You're right. And if Brock Purdy gets hurt, they are. I don't know who they have behind him, but fat chance they got someone that's as talented.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if the number was 7 or 7.5 or something, like, especially if it was 7, you could be like, okay, I think this team is probably good enough for turning all the starters, blah, 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 even if their quarterback gets hurt. But like, to bet the over on 9.5, you're betting that Brock Purdy makes it over 1,000 snaps healthy.
They have a good defense, but you have to score points to win games, especially in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the betting purposes go, you're not leaving yourself a lot of room for error if you're betting the over.
So if gun to your head, Kev, you're taking under 9.5 on Iowa State?
I'm not saying that.
You have to make a decision. You have to go over or under. There's no abstaining from the bet. You have
Does this
to
make include conference championship and bowl game, or just regular season?
No, regular season.
So they have to go at least 10-2.
They have to go 10-2.
And they're favored in 10 of their 12 games.
Correct. It's so close, man.
Yeah, I can see them winning either of those two games that they're not favored in easily. And I can also see them dropping a game that they're not supposed to win.
So, like,
it's a good line. That's probably where I'd put the line if I was making the odds. Gun to my head, 9.5, Iowa State.
I mean, we all hope for everybody listening at home. We all hope that they blow.
I'm going to say this. Went on a Vegas trip a few years back. And
tell us a story.
And, this is a good story. We all picked our one winner for that day, and we're going to make it a 5-team parlay. Each put $100 on it. 500 to pay, it was like $4,000 or something like
that. It was bigger than that, Kev. I think it was to pay like $8,000.
It was something stupid. All right.
I can see the
disgust. Who didn't fucking cover is Iowa State versus Baylor that day.
The Iowa State cut clones.
And ever since that day, I have pledged I would never bet on Iowa State ever again. So therefore, I have to take the under.
Kevin's taking the under. Gun to his head on the Iowa State 9.5 line. And man,
I'm going to take the under and say it so unequivocally that I'll burn my house down if they fucking win 10 games.
Wow. Here's what I'll say. Even for the teams that are like middle of the pack, Big 12, every year, I mean, this happens around the country. You're playing 11 against 11. It's offense versus defense. There's a bunch of good athletes who are out there playing football, trying to win football games, right? So every once in a while, the team that isn't supposed to win on paper, I mean, how the fuck did we beat Ohio State? I still don't know it. But
his heart don't have stars, bitch.
That's true. But in the Big 12, every year, almost every week, you see some weird thing happen like, oh, Kansas is trash. you know, like TCU upsets.
And Kansas has like the second or third hardest strength of schedule in the entire country this year.
Oh, yeah, they're just – it's tough to be a Jayhawk, you know. But you see like random stuff happen. And I just – I think I have to take the under too. What hurts is – they're good. They return a lot of experience, which helps early in the season. Generally, when you're trying to figure out who you are and what your culture is and who you are as a team, they play Iowa, man. I don't want to give the Cy-Hawk trophy back, but if there was a year that it was going to happen, it would be this year. And it's good. If it happens, it'll hurt a little less worse with the fact that they're favored. And that they're at Iowa State, like they're supposed to win this game. This is the first game that Iowa State's supposed to win against Iowa in, it has to be over a decade.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Seriously. Probably since the last time they lost.
Cause I know we were favored when we lost to win 14.
Boys, if they're not,
we were favored all 5 of our years.
We were. Yeah.
If they're not absolutely triggered beyond belief in our locker room right now, then something's wrong.
I mean,
4.5 points is disrespectful as fuck, dude.
I mean, it will be.
Hey, go grab it right now, Drake. Show us the ticket.
I might. I have to find out how to bet in Arizona, but I might.
You guys not have legalized betting yet?
I heard a rumor that it was going to be legalized, but I'm not sure either if it has. And if it has, I have yet to place a bet. So,
well, it's. Okay. Iowa State's usually, you know, that game is good anyway, even when they suck, because they just give it everything they have, and there's just that rivalry aspect to it.
Yeah, I mean, like, we were in, let's see, 2015, we beat them by 2 touchdowns, but one was like a last.
Yeah, it was like Kanziri.
Kind of bullshit touchdown. 16, we beat the fuck out of them, which was fun.
Yeah.
But every other game's been, like, super close.
Yeah, and then, even going back to, like, the rain delay game, Keith Duncan, 4 field goals. Like, I mean, it's just always, there's always drama. And so if you think in a year that they're ranked top 15, there's not going to be drama. Like it's going to be a close game. And, oh, you know, if it happens, it happens, but we've beat on them for a while. And if it doesn't happen, if Iowa beats Iowa State this year and Iowa State's got an early loss on their schedule and it's to the Hawkeyes, I don't think anything could make me happier. Oh my God. In a season where they're supposed to be, oh, they could potentially make the college football playoffs, says the Cheeto Eater.
I don't know who's going to say that. I mean, he's a Cheeto eating motherfucker. It's the bear on college game day.
Oh yeah. Oh, he loves Iowa State.
He loves the clowns, dude. I don't know. Yeah. I hate that guy. I can't stand listening to him.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the bear. Does that look like a guy that we give a fuck about or not?
It looks like a guy that when Kevin goes to Vegas, he sees him at the sports book, and then Kevin comes back the next day, and the guy's in the same clothes. He's still in the sports book, and he's down a lot of money.
He's just chasing.
Joe, he's chasing hard.
I only got $100 left. I gotta go for a 5-team parlay to come my life.
It would have been good for the bear to maybe chase the treadmill for a while and stop chasing the damn calories.
Put out a donut in front of him, and it's like a donut on a stick, hook it to his back. Yeah, man. So that's that Iowa State thing I wanted to bring up because, you know, as the summer, yeah, we're like 80 some low day, like 14 Saturdays or something like that until 12 Saturdays. I think it's 12 Saturdays until college football. So it's not too far away, and all of those conversations are going to start to heat up here. So, you know, that week, man, God, I would do anything to play in this Iowa-Iowa State game. I would do anything to play in this year's Iowa-Iowa State game so bad, dude.
I want people to know that I am for hire as an undercover agent. I can go make sure that a couple of Iowa State's best players don't make it to Jack Trice Stadium that day. Somebody's just going to have to show me a good dollar amount. So if you want to talk business, my direct messages are open.
Oddly, Brock Purdy.
Fuck that, man. I want their best game. I don't want any excuses. I want the Hawks to go in there and win by a fucking million, baby.
I agree, but I just want a W one way or another. And I don't have the most moral high ground inside of me anymore. So dude,
the FBI is going to be at your door when, oddly enough, Iowa's at Iowa State. And that Saturday morning, somehow Brock Purdy has the squirts and it just couldn't make it to the stadium.
Or they just don't know where to find him.
I love we have a podcast where we talk about our former team and potentially murdering our in-state rival players so that the Hawks can win. And that's just an open forum. No one can tell us, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I used to say the same thing in the locker room. Like I was offering the same things to the coaching staff when I was playing there. I was like, hey, you guys aren't giving me any scholarship money. What if you just put hits on other players and pay me that way? They didn't take me up on it.
No. Well, no, because they're clean. We talked about that one last week. That's probably good for today. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, the stuff that comes out in these conversations, it's just really, really borders that line of what's okay and what's not okay. Speaking of, I had several people, Drake, you've touched a little bit of a nerve over the last few weeks, the ouchie Fauci, and please don't get into it because I don't want to get into it, but I had three people this week message me directly and say, hey, Tyler, love what you've been able to do with the podcast. Love your insights. Drake's just gotten to be a little too much for me, man. I got to stop listening. Good luck with everything. And I just respond, I understand. Thanks for listening. Appreciate the support. And they just, I don't know if they think because they DM me, like I'm going to be like, all right, well, announcement, Drake's off the podcast, but you know, so it's not for everybody, man. This conversation ain't for everybody. Do want to give a quick shout out to two people who know who they are, Doug and Patty. Kevin, Drake, I'll inform you on that and why I'm shouting them out. But listeners of the podcast, true Iowa fans, season ticket holders for over 40 years. And you guys know why I'm giving the shout out. You guys are legends, absolutely legends. So that's it. Episode 223. It's either the Backwash Bush Light Shower podcast or the Cheeto Eater podcast. But either way, it was a decent conversation. We'll be back on Thursday. Peace.
everyone. I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.